So what can we really learn from all this? Well, I want you to understand with all the enthusiasm that I have for certainty and its power, it is a paradox. It must be used in a balanced way. You've got to be very careful about what you get certain about if what you're certain about has very strong consequences for your life or anybody you care about. And don't ever forget about the human side of these issues. The people that are suffering. Because it could be you someday if we don't think smart, if we don't take care of ourselves. Let's be sure to think critically and care deeply. Understand that things may be more complex than the simplified answers that most of us are looking for in this environment of constant information downpour. So in any area of your life, I don't care if that's in the area of what you believe spiritually or politically, or if it's the education of your children, or if it's your physical health, or it's the way you manage your money, those issues that have major consequence, do not accept just an expert's opinion or even the majority of people, because the majority can be wrong. Don't accept my opinion. Make sure you think it through yourself. Get second and third opinions and then ultimately decide what you believe is right, because this is your life and how it turns out is based on your decisions. Please, for your benefit, make them consciously. I want you to make sure you stay open. And I'll tell you what, the reason it's so difficult to be open is when we believe something and created a sense of certainty about something, that's in our physiology. But let me tell you the good news. You can begin right now to change this whole process. So let's return to the positive side of certainty. I've been beating you up on the negative side. Let's finally get back on the upswing. The bottom line is if you're going to err on the side of certainty of what you're capable of. Err on the side of certainty of what's possible. Err on the side of certainty that gives you the ability to take action and try something new. Something that causes you to use your personal power to reach out and attempt. Because by doing that, the only way we know what we're really capable of is by pushing ourselves out there. The only way you know how far you can go is to go a little too far, maybe, to push yourself out there and discover. Now you got to be smart, you got to be balanced, but certainty can give you the power to reach things you hadn't reached before. You've got to break outside the patterns of your past, because otherwise your future will be the same as your past. And unless we change the quality of our thinking, we won't change the quality of our lives. I'll tell you now my final example of certainty and its true power. About a year and a half ago, I was conducting a program in Hawaii, one of my certification programs, and part of the process of that seminar is a pamper pole experience, very much like you see in corporate America, where people climb to the top of these poles as part of a team-building experience, and of course, they're harnessed, and they jump out to reach a trapeze, and it's a very challenging event, and of course, everyone is screened before to make sure that they're physically vital, they don't have any heart problems or any physical challenges that wouldn't allow them to be able to participate. Person's supposed to bring doctor's slips, and they're supposed to let us know if there's any challenge and make sure their doctor has cleared them. And we investigate that fairly clearly, and we ask everybody, and we keep little forms on everyone. Well, this particular unique day, a gentleman decided that he was going to push himself. He didn't tell us he'd had a heart challenge. He climbed to the top of this pole and made it to the top of the pole fine, jumped out to catch the trapeze, and then at some point while he was still hanging up there, had a heart attack. And when they brought him down, he was completely out. Fortunately, like any program we do, we always have professionals on hand. And immediately the professionals came and began to give him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to check out what was going on. And I was up in the seminar room and I heard what happened. And I immediately sprinted down to the facility and I came down and there was this man lying on his back, turning another color. And everyone there was saying he was dying or was dead. And the gentleman who was working to save his life, the paramedic who was on site, not a paramedic from the hospital or in an ambulance, was pounding on his chest, giving him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, and the shock device that you see, that I'm sure you've seen used on someone who's had a heart attack, is called a defibrillator. And the doctor on site was not listening to his pager, and he had locked his office, and so it wasn't available. So we called immediately in an ambulance. Unfortunately, in this particular island of Hawaii, we were waiting 20 minutes and still there wasn't an ambulance there. And several doctors were on site, emergency technicians who were in the programs as well as those we'd hired to be on site. And by the time the ambulance came and they began to shock this man, he was, on the little recording, he was flatlining. Everybody around him was totally silent and they said he was dead, that he was gone. And you can imagine the intensity of emotion. And so some people started to talk to him a little bit, and somebody else said, shut up, don't do that, be quiet. And I found myself in a place of questioning. That's how you create doubt. That's how you keep yourself from being certain. Ask yourself lousy questions. I started asking myself some lousy questions like, oh my God, what's going to happen? How could this be? I mean, why would God do this? All questions that will not make anything better. And then I started asking, what could we do? What could we do? Something's got to be done. And I saw people starting to talk to him, and I went back and forth, and people were looking to me to know what would happen. I didn't know what to do. All I knew is this was beyond imagination. And so I finally turned and I thought, you know, I'm not certain what's true, but one thing that I would hope is true and I would say is to do nothing will make no benefit. We've got to try and stimulate this man. We've got to stimulate his nervous system, and talking to him has got to be one way. I know from people that were in comas who've come back out and said that when people said they were gone, they could still hear something. And so I used that as a reference, and I said, let's talk to him. Let's talk to him about why I need to stay here. Let's talk to him about what's most important. You know, who here knows him? And we started talking to him personally, and I started talking. We all started asking him questions. We started saying things. This man on the ground who supposedly was dead. And you could see some of the doctors just shaking their head like we were wasting our time. And we got more and more intense, and people started saying things that he had laughed about earlier, and things that he'd been challenged by and stimulating, and talking about his family and all these different things to stimulate him. And yet as we did this, he continued to just flatline for another 10 or 15 minutes. And finally, they put him on a stretcher, and they put him in the back of the ambulance, and I started to get in the ambulance, and the doctor pulled me aside, and he said, Tony, he shook his head, and he said, look, the man is dead. He said, don't waste your time. He's gone. He's been dead for more than 30 minutes. He's gone. And he said, you know, the only reason they're doing this is because you keep telling these guys to keep working on him, but shocking him, it's worthless. He is dead. He's gone. And I said, I just don't accept that. I don't accept that. I said, we've got to do everything we can do. I said, you know what? Maybe he's gone. Maybe you're right. But if I'm going to err, I'm going to err on the side of giving him every possibility. I am certain. I got to stay certain that he can make it. And I just slammed the door in front of the guy, and I got in the ambulance. And meanwhile, by the way, I kept talking to this guy, and I had one other doctor with me that believed that talking to him could make a difference. And so we kept shocking him and going after him, and we took the next 30-minute drive to get to the hospital. That's how far it was on the big island of Hawaii, going through winding roads with the thing screaming. And meanwhile, the ambulance driver is going crazy. He thinks I'm stupid for talking to this person. He's mad. He's blaming me. He's blaming our group. He's blaming everything, saying, you know, this guy's dead because of us. And you can imagine the kind of feelings I had while he's saying this to me. And I had to just shut him out and remain certain, keep talking, and keep stimulating this man, do everything I could, kept these people going. And about halfway to the hospital, we turned a curve real intensely, and the defibrillator spun and smacked the side of the wall of the ambulance, and it stopped working. Now here is this man who's been gone for 30 minutes or 40, 45 minutes at this point, and we don't even have a way to stimulate him electronically. I thought to myself, you know what? You know, he either doesn't want to be here or his creator, you know, our creator wants him. I don't know what. And I started to cry inside, and I said, you know what? I just can't give up. I got to stay here until everything's been done. I said, come on, come on. Don't give up. And I stayed in a sense of certainty. Something can be done. Something must be done. They said it's broken. They tried to call and try and figure out how to stimulate him with chemicals, with drugs, and they couldn't get through because it was going through this winding area in the mountain, so they couldn't get through to the base who could tell them what to do and how to revive him or push him with drugs. And we kept doing this thing, and one of the doctors finally got mad and smacked the side of the defibrillator, and it came on. And they started working on him some more. And he's still flatlining, but I thought, my God, you know, this is working. Keep going. Keep going. And a long story short, after about 5-10 minutes before we got to the hospital, it looked shortly after that, like right after we started using the defibrillator again, after it got smacked, he had a little bit of response where it wasn't a complete flat line. And I said, look, look, he's alive. And I went crazy, man, got excited. And the doctor said, now don't get excited. He said, you know, it could just be spasms in the body. You know, it doesn't mean that he's there and there's no real other signs. And, you know, and I said, stay with him. I kept talking. I said, come on, you can do it. And I kept asking him questions and stimulating in every way I could. And at times I started questioning myself, and I realized questioning myself wasn't going to help him. If this was worthless, at least I gave my all. I had to stay with him. I had to believe he could make it. I had to have absolute certainty, absolute faith. I had to trust, and I had to get these other guys to do the same. And the bottom line is, within a short period of time, that little bit of response on the graph was even greater. And I said, look at his skin. Look at his skin. And this one other doctor who agreed with me, who was going through my seminar at the time, he said, look, his skin's different. He's coming around. There's something there. There's some life there. Because he'd gotten dark, like gray, and like nothing was there. And there was a little bit of color. And we got him to the hospital. We brought him in. And they said, let's see. He's got a tiny bit of a pulse. And an hour and a half later, I was sitting there in the room, and he opened his eyes and looked at me. And he said, how did you get on my vacation? He didn't quite say that clearly. It was garbled. I had to hear it through his oxygen mask and try and decipher it, but that's what he was saying. And by the way, his name was Howard. And they still said he's not out of the woods yet. And I said, if he's made it this long, if this guy was technically dead for 45 minutes or more and he's back, he's back. And I tried to talk to him and be with him. And I stayed there. And then I came back to the seminar. I'd left the seminar and I left a couple of people to run it. We had about 1,000, 1,200 people there, and they're all as worried as you can imagine. They all thought for sure he was dead, and I got up and I told people, I said, he made it. And you know what's fascinating? The doctor who told me he was dead thought I was lying. He thought I didn't have enough guts to tell people the truth. So he called the hospital, and they couldn't believe it, so he drove there to see this guy personally. And the next morning, he got up and shared with people, and we got on videotape, talking about how he's been through 3,000 of these in emergency care, and that there is no way, this man was dead, there's no way, this was a miracle. He said the miracle was all of you people out there, and the absolute faith and certainty he created. He said, I have no other explanation for it. And the guy started crying, and he said, you know, all it makes me think about is all the people I gave up on, because I didn't stay certain maybe long enough. And I said, listen, rather than crying about that, who knows what was right? But it's obvious, I think everything happens for a reason. And I said, I bet you're going to operate a little differently in the future based on this. He shook his head. He said he just couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. But it made him reevaluate everything he was doing in his practice. And the reason I bring this story up, besides the fact that it's one of the most potent examples of my life, of faith, and I don't have the hallucination that I made this guy live because I know that I don't have that kind of power, but I do believe that our joint focus and certainty made sure they kept treating him all that time, because as the man said, the doctor said, they would have quit after 15 minutes of flatlining and there was going to be no reason to continue. Our certainty made him continue to be treated, and he made the decision, or whatever you believe spiritually, to be here. But I just received a note from him. His name is Howard. And it said, Dear Tony, I couldn't let another Thanksgiving go by without thanking you for saving my life. That is the power of certainty. I didn't know what to do. I decided to err on the side of certainty that would make me act and give my all. He could have just as easily passed away. That wasn't something I could control. But I could control making sure that we did everything we could physically do to support him. Can you imagine how that makes me feel? I'm here to tell you that what we accept as the limits of the human mind, body, spirit, effort, of what children are capable of what you and I can truly do and be, is usually a lot less than what we're capable of. Make certainty your ally. Make it your friend. And learn to also make uncertainty your friend where it's appropriate. Learn to balance the human paradox, and I can promise you a life that goes far beyond what you've dreamed.